I love when my parents come visit from Cincinnati. They were just here at Thanksgiving a few weeks ago, because I get to spend some time with them. But also something I've really enjoyed over the last few years is getting to share them with others. Share them with my parishes, share them with my friends up here, those whom I love. I feel like when I share my parents, my mom and my dad, with people who don't know them but know me, it helps them to know me better. When they see them and when they hear them talk and act, they begin to realize, that's why Father Chad's that way. That's why he does things this way and not that way. It helps you get to know me when I share my parents with you. And this is the same thing that happens when we get to know Jesus's parents. When we get to know Mary and Joseph, it doesn't distract us from Jesus. It actually helps us get to know him better. What was it in the mystery of Jesus's birth that we need to grasp more tightly? Well, maybe we need to look at Mary and look at Joseph and look at their lineage and the history of their family to help us get to know Jesus. It doesn't distract us from that greater mystery of the incarnation. It helps us get to know him better. That's why in these final days of Advent, the church focuses on the family of Jesus. Last week, we heard from John the Baptist, Jesus's cousin, as he was baptizing in the wilderness. Today, we hear more explicitly about Mary, Jesus's mother. Next Sunday, the day after Christmas, we'll hear about the Holy Family. That's the solemnity we celebrate right after Christmas. And so you kind of have these bookends today and next Sunday of the Holy Family, of Mary and Joseph. And we get to know them better so that we can get to know Jesus better. That's what's happening today in our gospel. And so I wanted to do a bit of a Bible study with this gospel. It's only 6 verses, but there's so much just packed into it. A lot of the details just go right over our heads unless we study it and examine what's happening here. And to be able to understand what's happening in the New Testament, in this gospel in particular from Luke, we need the Old Testament. We need the Old Covenant and the details of Israel and their past to understand what's happening here. The Old Testament is like a decoder ring. It helps us understand what's happening in the New Testament. I think of that great Christmas it's like a classic these days, the Christmas story. Have you seen that? You know, Ralphie gets his decoder ring in the mail, his little orphan Annie decoder ring. He's so excited to be able to decipher the message, and then it's drink more Ovaltine. You're going to get more than a crummy commercial when we look at the New Testament today through the lens and the code of the Old Testament. To understand what's happening today with Mary and Elizabeth, we have to go all the way back to the second book of Kings. In the second book of Kings, we read about the story of King David. David was the ruler of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was King David's city. We'll sing that in a Christmas hymn in just a few days. But in the second book of Kings, David was in a particular situation. You remember the Ark of the Covenant? Maybe you saw that in the Raiders of the Lost Ark with Indiana Jones, or you've seen a picture of it before on the internet. It was that golden box on long poles that for Israel was the very presence of God. It was their treasure among treasures. Within that golden box had the Ten Commandments, Aaron's staff, and then some of the manna that the Lord fed them with in the desert. And so this gold box on these poles, they always kept in their possession. They even processed it in battle sometimes, hoping it would give them victory. But in the second book of Kings, that box, that Ark of the Covenant, was stolen. It was lost in battle. And so the enemies of Israel carried it away and put it in their temple. And if you read the rest of the story, it didn't have such good luck for them. And so they actually wanted to get rid of it. This is bringing pestilence and plague to us. So David goes and recaptures the ark. And then the second book of Kings, he's bringing it back to Jerusalem. That's the setting I want to paint for today. David bringing back the ark. In the second book of Kings, we read that he stops in this one location for 3 months with the ark. And where was that location? The hill country of Judah. The hill country of Judah. David is there for three months with the Ark of the Covenant and his soldiers. And then eventually they start processing back into Jerusalem with the ark. And what does David do? Something pretty peculiar. He cuts a rug. He does a little jig in front of the ark. He's so excited. He's so happy and joyful that they've recaptured this very presence of God. And so he does a dance in front of the ark. That's what we read in 2 Kings. And to know that story is so important for knowing the details of our gospel today in these six small verses. What do we read today in these verses? It's the same location as David. It's the hill country of Judah, just west of Jerusalem. So it's the same location. There's dancing. John the Baptist is in his mother's womb. Elizabeth's pregnant. And when Mary comes before her, John starts dancing in her womb. He starts leaping like King David in front of the ark. Another similarity between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then the third detail that is the same, we don't hear it in the gospel today, it would come a few verses later, but how long did Mary stay with Elizabeth in the hill country of Judah? 3 months. The exact same details of the Old Testament in the New. And this is important for us. It helps us understand what's happening in here and why Mary has been called by a specific name in the church's history. What was that name? The Ark of the Covenant. Mary has been called the Ark of the Covenant. Just like the Old Testament and the Old Covenant had an Ark, the New Testament and the New Covenant have an Ark. I thought of this in our reading from Hebrews today. We read that God takes away the first to establish the second. Mary is that new Ark of the Covenant. Israel needed a new place where the presence of God could reside and be with them. And that place was no longer a golden box on poles. That place was a womb. It was a mother who brought forth the Savior as a little baby. Now, there's some other details of this that are super important for us to understand. You see, Elizabeth says some specific words to Mary. First, she says, "Blessed are you among women." You've heard that before. It's in the Hail Mary. We always echo Elizabeth's words when we pray the Hail Mary. "Blessed are you among women." Now, admittedly, this isn't the first time we've ever heard this in sacred scripture. It's actually the third time. We hear the same phrase, "Blessed are you among women," about two other women before we hear it about Mary. The two other women are from the Old Testament. In the book of Judges, we hear about Jael and Judith, two other women who were strong warrior women. They weren't weaklings, they were strong. And Jael, her story is that she snuck into the enemy's camp and she took the head of the enemy. She drove a tent peg right through Sisera's temple. Ouch. Judith did something really similar. She was in the presence of another evil king, Holofernes, and Judith took his head right off. Two strong warrior women. And now you have this third in the New Testament, Mary. That's why she's always pictured, like right over here in our little chapel, with a snake under her foot. Mary's crushing the head of our ancient enemy. She too is a strong warrior woman who comes to help us conquer the enemy, who conquers evil through her son Jesus. And then a second thing that Elizabeth says to Mary, she calls her the mother of my Lord. What a beautiful title for Mary, the mother of my Lord. We call her the mother of God. We've called her that all the way from the 5th century, the Council of Ephesus. Mary's not just the mother of Jesus' humanity. She carries his entire person. We call her the mother of God. And Elizabeth was the first to use a similar title. Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? You see, brothers and sisters, these specific details in the gospel help us to understand who Mary is and who her son is. We don't get Jesus, we don't get the baby without the mother. That's true in all of our families. No babies without mothers. And the mother helps us to understand the baby and it helps us understand her son. St. Louis de Montfort, he was a priest who lived in France, and he had such a great devotion to Mary and wrote so beautifully about her. And one of the images he gives us is this. St. Louis said that Mary was good enough to be the way that God came to us, so she's probably good enough a way to go back to God. If God chose Mary to come to us, she was the vehicle, the channel, then maybe she can be the vehicle and the channel for us to go back to God. And then he had this great four-word line, to Jesus through Mary. Mary brings us to Jesus. She doesn't distract us from him. Just like when you meet my mother, you're not distracted by her. You actually get to know me better. That's what Mary and Joseph help us do. They help us get to know Jesus better. So my simple invitation for you over these next few days leading up to Christmas, get to know Mary. Keep welcoming her into your home, just like David brought the Ark of the Covenant and stayed there 3 months in the hill country of Judah. Maybe you want to welcome Mary, the new Ark of the Covenant, into your homes, into your hearts. Over these next few days as we prepare for Christmas, maybe as a family, you want to pray the rosary together. Pray those joyful mysteries, meditating on those mysteries of the Holy Family and how God chose to come to us as a baby with Mary and Joseph. There's another beautiful thing that you could do as a family. There's that series, The Chosen. It's on YouTube and it's on a streaming service, and they have a new Christmas special that was just released. It's a beautiful representation of what it might have been like for Jesus to come into the world through this family. Even in that series, it does something very peculiar. It does flashbacks of Mary telling the story, which is probably how it happened. I mean, how do we get the details from the Gospel of Luke today? It probably had to be told by Mary. She was telling the story to Luke and to the gospel writers of how it happened that Jesus came to me and I responded to the angel, and then I went and visited my kinswoman Elizabeth, and then we made it to Bethlehem, but there was no room at the inn. Let Mary tell you the details of the story as we prepare for Christmas in these next couple days. Let us worship our Lord alone. Let us welcome Jesus into our hearts. But let us also get to know his family. Let us welcome Mary and Joseph. Let us welcome the shepherds and the magi. Let us welcome all these characters into our homes over these next few days, that Jesus would find a place in our hearts.